This is episode number 280 of the Homeowner Show. Whether you're DIY or looking to hire, we're here to help you find the best information and options for you and your home. My name is Kevin Hackett. Here with me is Craig Williams.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Homeowner Show. We're so glad you could join us from another episode here at the Homeowner Show Studios. How you doing, Kev?
Oh, man. I'm fantastic. How are you?
Wunderbar.
So, I got to tell you something right at the beginning.
Okay. Gotta sneak it in.
Yeah, I gotta sneak this in. So, this past week we went camping.
Yep.
Spring break. My kids are out of school, so a bunch of families.
Y'all, tradition.
Yeah, we thought y'all would be there, and you weren't, but that's fine.
Well, not I was there in spirit.
You are.
I sent my progeny.
Yeah, you're. It's true. Your family did show up for a day. But as we're there, it's the last night. Everybody's kind of around my campsite. We're hanging out, cooking s'mores, you know, doing all the things. And someone yells, "He's doing it! He's doing it!" And I was like, you know, whatever. Uh-huh. You know, there's kids everywhere.
Right.
"He's doing it." And I'm like, "Who's doing what?" And they're like, "Your son. He's riding a bike." And I was like, "What? Okay. Time out for a second."
Uh-huh.
My son's 9.
Right.
And there have been a couple of times in his life where he's wanted to learn to ride a bike. But he never really figured it out.
Okay.
And he didn't really care to keep learning.
Uh-huh.
And so he was kind of like, whatever. It's 9 o'clock at night. It is dark.
Uh-huh.
And I walk out to the street and my son is riding a bike. For the first time in his life.
All by himself.
All by himself.
Yeah, yeah. Two wheels, no training wheels, all that.
It gets better. It's on a little kid bike.
Okay.
When I say a little kid bike, a 5-year-old girl was teaching him how to ride her bike. I mean, I'm not kidding. He's out there riding this girl, and we've got a bunch of videos to show.
Yeah, we do have some videos.
I should have linked this up because I've got a video of it.
Yeah, you got to keep that and, for
for memory's sake.
Well, and like, you know, you want to hold it against him later on.
No, it's so true.
Yeah,
and what's funny is like, he's so proud of himself.
Uh-huh.
Does
he have a bike at home?
Well, yeah, but it's little,
uh-huh.
And so
because you never upgraded because.
Right.
Yeah.
But his sister has a bike.
Ah.
It's nice and pink. And he doesn't care. He's been riding it all. He's like standing up riding, like all over the place all of a sudden. So here's what's amazing about this. He just decided to do it.
Yeah.
And did. Like.
But I mean, that's the way it is with most kids, man. It's like, you can make them do things.
Right.
And like most of the time, if they don't want to, you're both going to be miserable by the time it's over. And they're probably not going to be very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But like once they decide they want to do something, man, like the learning curve for them is just so good.
I know.
They can figure out anything.
They really can. And I was like, dude, I'm so proud of you, man.
Yeah.
Like, and that was even better, right? As soon as I said that, that was like, oh, I'm really going to do this.
You know?
And so I, whenever we got home, the first thing he wanted to do was get on her bike. And so we did. And so then I told him, I was like, you know, it's a little bit easier if you like stand up when you're going uphill.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, how do you do that? I was like, just stand up.
Yeah.
And he was like,
get off the seat.
Oh, yeah. And then he started doing it.
Yeah.
And that was that. So like all day today, he's like, hey, look at this. And so he was like riding out on the grass and stuff and like doing different things. And I was like, man, look, all of a sudden, riding a bike. So
yeah.
Anyway, now my daughter, who she's 2 years old, 2.5 years older than him.
Uh-huh.
And she's never wanted to, we've talked about this before. She's super uncoordinated.
Uh-huh.
Like standing up just falls down.
Right.
And we got her a scooter, and she's been riding it really well. And now she's like, I think I want to ride a bike too. So, which is great.
Uh-huh.
I want my kids to ride a bike.
Sure.
But they've just never shown any interest. And I'm not going to be like, you're going to ride a bike.
Yeah. Who cares?
Who cares? It's not a big deal, but I may have 2 bike riders soon.
So. Yeah. Like where I grew up as a kid, And I think like where we live, it's unless you live, there's like one particular neighborhood nearby that I think it would be normal to ride your bike to school.
Oh, yeah.
Any other place that you live around here, uh-huh. it's weird to ride your bike to school.
Right.
Up in this part of North Houston.
Right.
I mean, the neighborhoods are so sprawling. Mm-hmm. There's a few neighborhoods I know of where there's kids that ride their bikes to school. I've seen it. Like, I get it. Like, if you live in one of those, I don't know. You're special. But, like, for the vast majority of us, like, schools aren't nearby the home.
Nope.
And so, like, and it's not safe.
No, you really got to get on a major road.
Right.
To get ride your bike to school in a place... I wouldn't ride my bike on those roads.
Right.
Okay.
So, but like when I was a kid, we all rode our bikes to school.
Sure.
Like it wasn't like, hey, maybe Johnny will figure it out one day. It's like, right. No, I'm not driving you to school anymore.
Right.
So you can either get up at 4 uh-huh. and start walking or get right. up, have a leisurely breakfast mm-hmm. and ride your bike.
Yep. That's
and
what
so, like,
I did.
Everyone knew how to ride their bike.
Yep.
But like now it's like I could care less if my kids knew how, right. they all do now, mm-hmm. but. Like, one, like, we don't really have a place to go riding bikes.
Right.
And so, like, it's just not as, it was necessary for me as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I've just never felt the need to, like, impress that upon them.
Right. And not only that, like, where I grew up, a bunch of my friends lived nearby. So we would bike to each other's house.
Sure. Yeah.
That sort of thing. Again, I mean,
parents just aren't letting their kids do that kind of stuff anymore either.
Well, no, that's for sure. In fact, while we were camping, it was kind of a distance between our campsite and some of the others. And my wife is like, they can't go by themselves. I'm like, it's just us. Like, there's other campers here. And right. I realize anybody could be a rapist. I realize that. But I'm just like, I'm okay with it. Well, she was still... it's in kind of ingrained. It's different. The yeah. world we live in is different. And it's one of those deals where now my kids' friends live a long way away from each other. They couldn't bike
no.
to each other's house no. nearly the way we could. It's just different.
Yeah, it's very, very different. Yeah, so, anyway. Big time. So anyway, we got, I mean, it's not going to be a super long show tonight, no. but we got some stories to share with you guys, and a lot of them are animal focused, oddly enough.
I think they're all
animal focused.
Yeah.
Just because we've had some stuff happen in our lives, big stuff for us, and Kevin was a big part of that. And then we had some adventures with I had some adventures with my kids today, and then there was another huge cat incident, up here in North Texas. And so we're going to be going through all that. So right off the, I think the quickest one to get through is the big cat.
Oh yeah.
And it was actually over by where you were camping.
Oh really?
Yeah. Well, supposedly.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. So the story broke, I guess it was a week ago now that there, so this was in the aftermath of the Black Panther
right.
story, which continues to go. Like if you want to just have a chuckle, go follow the comment section on YouTube on our Black Panther video.
Yeah.
It's pretty hilarious.
It is funny.
There's guys from like New York is like, I've seen one, and guys from Tennessee is like, and I'm telling you guys, like anytime you start talking about Black Panthers, like hillbillies uh-huh. and rednecks and outdoorsmen and conservationists. They just come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And they have in our comment section.
They saw them while they were hunting Sasquatch. So,
right.
you know.
there's some funny ones in there. Yeah. It's worth perusing.
Right.
But anyway.
Subscribe while you're there, by the way.
Yeah, just go ahead and, you know, that way you can get more funny comment.
That's threads. Right. That's right.
But anyway, in the aftermath of that, there was social media went crazy with, oh, by the way, okay, preface it with this. One of the things a lot of people brought up, which I think is a very reasonable and logical explanation of the photo in Huntsville.
Okay.
Texas has one of the largest privately held exotic animal populations in the world.
Oh yeah, they're everywhere.
There are more tigers in captivity in Texas than there are in the wild in the world.
You mean even more than Florida?
More than Florida.
Oh wow. The Tiger King was there.
Suck it, Florida. yeah, no, Texas is kicking butt when it comes to exotics.
There we go.
Well, and part of that is we have huge exotic game ranches.
Yes, we do.
So, but there's also a lot of people that have exotic cats.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's not unreasonable. Look, I think we've talked about my friend of mine that accidentally shot a red stag in the National Forest not far from here. Yeah. And as I was talking to a game warden about it, he was like, oh, yeah, man, there's like two zebras and a couple other things wandering around the National Forest out there. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Wow. I didn't know that.
So anyway, it's not unreasonable to assume that there could be a black cat of some sort that got out and is wandering Huntsville.
Sure.
That's totally within the realm of possibility.
Sure.
All that being said, social media went wild when a tiger was reported as lounging around the bank of Lake Livingston. And there were photos.
Yeah.
And it was very clearly a tiger.
Right.
So, and so everybody was just like flipping out. One, because it was so close to spring break.
Sure.
Which was when Lake Livingston just is...
That's where we were.
Overpopulated.
Right.
You know, people are skiing, people are camping, people are having a good time on the lake. And they're like, everybody's like, hey, watch out on the lake. There's a tiger out there.
And that's the third largest lake in Texas.
Yes.
Big.
It's a huge lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool place to go. If you've never been, it's a cool place to go hang out.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that whole thing was a fraud. So apparently, like, somebody did like an image search through Google and found out that these photos had been recirculated from like an somewhere else.
Come on.
On an older story.
Snopes.com.
Yeah. So.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. But I mean, like, it got reshared like crazy
Of course it did.
And I think even like some news channels ran some stories like, hey, there's a crazy wild tiger loose in Lake Livingston. Be careful this week, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So anyway, that was a thing.
Well, yeah.
Again, like the reason people like bought it, like I grew up next to a tiger.
Yeah.
Like for like a decade of my life, it was like a totally normal thing to go out in my backyard. I was like, oh, hey, there's Sindhu.
Right. There's like, the tiger.
I knew her since she was a cub. Mm-hmm. Up until she died. Mm-hmm. Like, super cool cat.
Right.
Like, even for me, it's like not a weird thing.
Yeah, your dad didn't even shoot her when she
died. Awful kind of him.
Other animals, that's a different story.
That's right. It was, you know, those vicious emus.
And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, we do have an episode about that somewhere.
Yeah, it's buried.
Yeah, it's there. And then,
In the depths of our anyway, let's see. Well, let's go to the one that's probably going to take the longest.
Okay.
So I guess it was about a week and a half ago now. So Thursday, but the Thursday before.
Yeah, because I'll just tell you what happened on my end. I'm sitting at home,
right,
and I get a call from your wife,
right,
and it's like 9:30 at night, which. Okay, not that late. And sometimes, depending on weird things, every once in a while, your phone number shows up as her.
Right.
Which is odd. But I was in the middle of something I couldn't answer. And so I get a text message from her saying, I need you to call me as soon as possible.
Right.
I was like, I'm right on it.
Yeah.
So then, go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, we had a horse that it's been part of our family since I was 17. He was 34 years old at this point. My son found him. He had fallen into a fence in kind of like a weird position and he could not get up, and he'd probably been there half the day and we just didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get him up. Mm. So we, Brandy reached out to you. She also, got a hold of Jehu, Affordable Air out there, you know, give him a call. He's an awesome guy. Two of my most reliable friends, because I was already out there just, you know, seeing what I could do.
And exhausted already.
Yeah. And so you guys came out and we were just trying to get him up. And we almost had him up a couple of times.
Well, we had him. I mean, the only thing that wasn't up was his back.
His rear end.
Leg. We could not get his rear end off.
And I still don't. I mean, it's possible his hip was broke. I mean, guys, like if you don't know, like 34 years old is super old for a horse. Like most of them live to be like 25.
Right.
In that area. Mm-hmm. So like had lived a really, really long life, had tried to die on us a couple of times. We nursed him back to health. He was actually looking pretty good.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was just tired and did not want to get up.
No.
And we were out there for hours just trying.
Yeah. I mean, at one point, and again, all humane things, right?
Yeah.
At one point we had a come along around him trying to help him stay up.
Oh, dude. Like, the next morning we had a tractor trying to hoist him and he was just done.
Yeah.
And it was like, at that point it was becoming cruel to try and pick him up. So we had to have the vet come out and put him down. It was really, really sad. My kids were devastated. My wife was devastated. I'm still sad about it.
Yeah.
And you know, one, thank you. I mean, like it was just good to have friends that we could call.
Yeah.
In such a time and like, you know, go through the suck.
Dude, can you imagine? I just want, first of all, anytime you, obviously day or night, literally. I mean, the call I got was, Kevin, can you come over here? And I said, sure, what's going on? I mean, I'm thinking something really bad has happened. And it was, right obviously. Yeah. And she goes, well, Doc's in a hole and we can't get him out. And I was like, ugh, I'm on my way right now. And so I literally hopped up and Kimberly, my wife's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm heading to Craig's house. She's like, why? And so I said, I don't know. Doc's in a hole and got to get him out. And so, but seriously, y'all, if you don't have a friend that can help you in that situation, like, I don't know, like find a place, find a place to go and spend some time and build some community because you need those types of friends
for sure.
Yeah.
So to say, like, he's passed on, he's moved on, he's buried and all that kind of stuff. Well, this past week, my wife called me and she goes, have you heard Nate Bargatze's bit on dead horses? And I was like, oh yeah, at least 10 times. She goes, you've got to share that with Kevin and Jehu, because they were those guys in the bit. And I was like, oh yeah, that's so good. And so I asked you before the show, have you heard it before? And you said you hadn't.
Well, I had. Okay. The answer is I don't remember it.
Right.
But I have seen this whole bit.
Uh-huh.
Like, not just this.
He does long bits, thing. If you don't know.
Yeah, like, he does shows.
Yeah.
Like, whole shows. And I've seen this show.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure I've heard it, but it's been a minute.
Yeah, so in honor of Doc, we wanted to share the clip with you and watch it together. I think one of the best things you can do with terrible situations is find a way to laugh.
Sure. Absolutely.
So let's cue it up. Let's see what Nate has to say about dead horses.
All right, here we go.
On the way out there, I see a dead horse just laid out in this guy's yard, and I've never seen that before. And I was like, man, I bet you don't think about that when you buy a horse, it dying. You know, what do you do? That's a huge thing, dying in your yard.
You never think of it. You can't
just scoot it off into the woods with your foot and try to get another one that matches before the kids come home. You have to tell your wife to keep the kids away for a month. You got to Google how to move a dead horse. You gotta probably try to get.
We literally
horse to
did
help
that.
Yeah. And that's not easy. Wow. That's what the blinders were invented for. Because it's like, just look ahead. Don't worry about what's going on back. He's like, no, look. Or you gotta get your friends to help you do it, and you can't spill the beans too quick on that. You think it's hard for them to help you move a couch? Try a dead horse.
So true.
You gotta lie to them, like, we're getting a divorce. Just come over, bring your truck and some gloves. And when they get there, let me tell you, they're going to see it, all right? Everybody saw it. It was next to the road. They're going to pull into that driveway and just be like, I don't think they're getting a divorce at all. I think we're here to move that dead horse is what I think.
We were a little bit more upfront.
Yeah,
you were.
Let's let him bring it up, all right? Make him ask. But I'll be shocked if we don't touch that dead horse. And if you ever have to move a dead horse, I've thought a lot about all this. You want to be the first one to the horse, all right? You don't want someone else to tell you where to grab a dead horse. So you run out there like you love it. Like, you're like, this is what I hoped it was. And get to the hoofs in the front and be like, all right, I'm here. You guys decide where you guys want to be.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, man.
I didn't get the three of us all in because I forgot.
Yeah.
Us laughing the entire time in the shot. Yeah. I'll get it for the next one. But that's so true.
Like, we literally Googled we didn't Google how to move a dead horse. We Googled how to get a fallen horse up.
Ugh.
Like, and there was several things. And, like, I can remember all of us, like, because we had to move him
just
to get him out of the situation he was in because he was miserable.
Yeah, well, at one, we probably moved him at least 180 degrees.
Oh, easy. Just,
I mean, because he was in an uncomfortable position.
Yeah, yeah. He had fallen basically into a fence post.
Yeah.
And was kind of like at a weird angle upside down and like we couldn't get him it was terrible. But like all of us like trying to move him, like we were all like, all right, where do I grab? Like,
it's true. Where do you get? And like and it's one of those deals where it's like, all right, as soon as he gets up, just keep him up and I'm like, okay. It's all right, man.
He's
like, here we go.
It's 10 times my size, but let's do this.
And he was, and like I said, he was, like you said, he was up almost. And so I'm literally on his side with my hands up on him. I'm going, dude, if he falls, I'm moving. And I did a couple of, and he, you know,
he did, those he fell. Couple,
he fell, and you know, he falls like a, you know,
sack of potatoes.
I don't
man.
Know. Jeez. 1,500 pound horse. I don't
know
how much.
He's 1,200 pounds.
12, yeah, yeah, he's huge.
Yeah.
So it was sad. It was sad. And so let me just tell you guys, like you think you love a dog and dogs are so loyal and, you know, like us, and we have a dog inside, you know, lives with us and we got two outside, love our dogs. But since 17, you had him since 17.
Yeah.
That's a long time. And so,
well, okay. You want to know what made it even worse is, okay, there's a couple of things that made it even worse. Yeah, it's right. I've had him since I was 7. He was originally my sister's horse. When she went to college, he stayed with my folks. But I mean, he's always been part of the family, right?
Right.
I'd ridden him a bunch. But when I got married and we moved out here, my folks were like, "Well, why don't you just take Doc?" Because my kids had been riding him. And so he literally taught every single one of my kids how to ride.
Wow.
So he died. No, it was Tuesday. He died on a Tuesday.
Okay.
And I know it was a Tuesday because I was speaking at a young adults event on Thursday night.
Oh, right.
And I'd been asked to speak there like 2 months prior to that. And a month and a half before, had talked with a guy, my friend Lo, about what I was going to be talking about. He's like, "What do you want to talk about?" And I was like, "Man, I really want to talk about horses." Mm-hmm. And so, like, I had to stand up there on a Thursday night talking about horses. Mm. 2 days prior, my horse had died.
Wow.
And so, like, and part of my talk was talking about, like, trust and how that horse had taught my kids to ride. And, like, I do that because I trusted him.
Right.
And how that relationship is like, how that relationship, like rider and horse, is like it is with God and believer. Mm. I was broken. The whole time, man. I couldn't, I don't know how I got through it.
I don't either. Well, I'll tell you this. So when we'd been here for a couple hours, I didn't leave till it was probably 11:30 or so when I left. And it was like, okay, well, correct. You were like, I'm just gonna stay out here with him.
Yeah,
all night, and we'll wait till see what happens. Maybe he needs some rest. We'll see. And he did. That's what you do. That you stay. He stayed with him, and I mean, I'm sure Doc was laying there going, "This is." I mean, whatever horses think, they're smart.
Yeah,
they're smart, and he probably knew it was the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. And he's like, "Man, I'm sure he's sitting there going, man, I'm so glad that Craig's here." And by the way, Ryan A. Duddle said, "I remember Doc from back in high school. He was great."
Uh huh.
So
I've known Ryan since like sixth grade, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was Ryan used to make fun of me because I would I carried the feed bags.
When how I was a you kid. Carried them?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. At that age, you carry him however you carry him.
Get him in the barn, man.
Yeah, that's right. However it works. Well.
So that was that, and I hopefully everybody listening got a chuckle out of that because Nate, and I think he's actually fixing to be in Houston.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Nate, if you're listening, like we love your stuff, man. We're a huge fan. If you want to come on the show while you're in town, you know, maybe you got another dead horse story.
No doubt. We would love to hear it.
I'll tell you my dead horse story.
That's right. And look, Nate, we will promote the crap out of this for you. Like, we have subscribers.
Yeah, we got a few.
Yeah,
I mean,
we have subscribers.
Maybe he needs a couple more. I don't know. I mean, we're not getting Netflix specials or anything. That's true. But
Yet. That's true.
So the other one is, and we'll finish the night off with this one, is so today is my youngest's birthday. And she, for those of you that know her, know that she is my wild child. My fearless one.
There's a story with her, Doc.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I got a good one. I'm not going to tell it, but I'll you tell it if you want to. But that's one of the best stories I remember.
Are you talking about where we found her buck naked?
Yeah.
That's how much we trusted him. It was like we saw her naked on the horse, and it's like, we're not worried at all. She's fine.
That's just not something you hear every day. And then, I mean, she was like, what, 4?
No, she was younger than that. She was 2 or 3.
So I'm sitting there going, I'm like, how'd she get on the horse? And well, she climbed on the fence and told him to come over. Yeah. And he came over and she got on.
She got on, yeah. No, no problem.
So funny.
It's like not even a problem at all. But yeah, so it.
That's funny.
But like this is my goes around the pasture pulling up rocks looking for snakes.
Right.
And bugs.
Yep.
Child. So one of the. If we want to get them like something kind of cool, sometimes we'll get them a shared present.
Okay.
And so this year, I got them a magnet fishing set.
Oh, cool.
Have you seen that
stuff?
Yeah. So we decided to take the little John boat out to the lake and see if we could find anything today. And so we're out there fishing, and it's kind of boring. I mean, especially if you're not finding anything.
Sure.
And so they're like, well, hey, let's go to the island. We have a little island in the middle of our lake. It's buoyed off so kids can go swimming off of it. There's a diving board. There's a little pavilion. It's super cool.
Yeah.
They love going there. But it was really cold today. And so I think it was like 62 degrees.
Oof.
And, yeah, and like no one wants to get in the water.
No.
So, but they were like, hey, let's go to the island. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's go to the island. We're out here. So we get there and they're initially, I think they're ducks, but they turn out to be Egyptian geese. And they're just hanging out on the island, and my kids get off the boat, and as soon as they get off the boat, like right in front of them, I'm like, oh, there's some eggs right there. Mm. And I'm like, uh-oh. Oh, this could go. And I was like, hey guys, like heads up. Like, I think those geese are getting a little, I called them ducks. I mean,
right, sure.
Yeah. I was like, I think those ducks are going to get agitated because you guys are like standing close to their nest.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like 10 seconds later, like one of them is like full on presenting honking at my daughter and like jumps on her.
Oh my.
Bites her.
Oh no.
And so like I know that they're not gonna hurt them.
Sure.
So like I just start filming.
Yeah.
And I got like 20 minutes of footage. And so but I wanted to share the funniest one, at least the one that I caught on video. The funniest one was my daughter, just the initial shock. Yeah. I was just like being attacked by a goose.
Yeah. But you don't have that one on video.
I don't have, but I sent you the other one so that we could watch it.
Let's do it. All right. So, yep. Here we go.
So it's a pair of them.
Right.
So, and I think... Yep.
You're safely in the boat.
I'm in the boat. There's no way I'm getting out. Well, one, I can't. Like, I don't have any way to tie it off.
Sure.
So
that's a good excuse.
I keep telling them, I'm like, guys, just come back to the boat. And they're like, no, the geese are right there.
They're antagonizing the geese. I mean, like, your son's walking up to the goose right now. They're not happy.
They're not, no.
I thought they were just
cute little ducks. Uh-oh. Here they come.
That's my father.
Yeah.
The father's very aggressive.
The father's very aggressive. I got him. Oh, that is really good.
So at some point in time, the geese wrangle both of my children. I think at the end of the video there, he runs to the diving board there, right?
Yeah, he runs all the way out to the diving board to get away.
So at one point,
the geese have both my kids wrangled out on the edge of the diving board, and one of them jumps up on the diving board and like starts flapping his wings and honking at them
while he's on the diving board.
While they're all on the diving board.
Oh, it's like, where are we gonna go from here?
Yeah, they're like, what do we do? And I'm like, fight back.
Kick.
Eventually, my son runs around and grabs an oar from me.
Oh.
And just chases him off the island to let his sister get on the boat. So he does his brotherly duty. But not before that.
Oh, that's good.
Man, and like people don't realize those things can go going fast.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Man, that's a good story. You know what else is a good story?
What's that?
People that use Lone Star Appliance Repair for all of their appliance needs.
Man, I am seeing a lot of posts on social media right now of people going like, I have an appliance, it's broken, I don't know who to call, which is really crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all,
as we sing their praises.
That's right. And you can Google people. But that being said, Lone Star Appliance Repair is a great, great company. And I'm not just saying that because they partnered with us here on the show. I'm saying that because we really do believe we've used them. And their number is 936-647-2364. You can call them up. They'll help you with all your appliances. They'll even help you with stuff that aren't appliances, like your sink and other things like that.
Yep, because it's an appliance. Which is going to infuriate, darling. I can hear, like, just screaming at the speaker right now.
Yeah, well, we actually had this conversation while we were camping this weekend about you and, microwaves came up too.
But microwaves?
Yeah, of course.
They'll fix those.
They will. Because that's, yes.
Dude, talking to their tech about the things that can go wrong with microwaves.
Yeah.
Is insane.
Oh.
And he was telling me about the parts that they have to, he said the biggest thing that happens on them is they have giant magnets in them.
Oh, yeah.
And they crack.
Oh.
And most people just, all of a sudden they're just, microwave starts fritzing.
Doesn't work.
Yeah. So, and it could potentially do some dangerous stuff, which, again, why you shouldn't have one. They're just dumb.
That's awesome.
But if you have one and it's broken and you want to get it fixed, call Lone Star Appliance Repair.
There's a lot of things that are coming. We got a lot of reviews to do.
Uh-huh.
One of them is I finally bought an air fryer.
Ah.
Okay, so we can talk about that
At
some point. But yes, if you have any appliance repairs, please give Lone Star Appliance Repair a call.
I bet
you
they fix air fryers.
I'm sure they do.
If they're like mine, where they're the big industrial ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are some that you can get that are like literally ovens that are air fryers as well.
I was going to say that. That's a new... We never talked... Did we talk about the fridge from our river trip?
No. Why did we not do that?
I know, because it's like... We need to ask the people over at Lone Star Appliance Repair, is this something that breaks?
Oh, yeah.
Because both you and I were looking at the fridge going like, look...
I got to have that.
I don't care how old my fridge is right now. Right. I want a fridge that does that.
Exactly. And we will get to that. We're just going to put that out.
Okay.
We need to talk about it.
Little teaser. That's fine.
Well, okay. Do you want to talk about it now?
I mean, what does it take? 2 minutes?
It doesn't take long. But it's because it's the best thing that we have ever seen in our life.
Look, here's the deal. Anyone that watches the show for any amount of time knows, tonight I'm drinking my grapefruit mineral water from HEB. Thank you, HEB. It's refreshing and lovely.
Delicious.
But that I enjoy bourbon.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that I enjoy bourbon is with craft ice.
Of course.
I like big cubes of ice.
Why wouldn't you?
And because it's beautiful, it's lovely, it makes the glass look nice, it chills, it doesn't melt too fast. Love it.
Yeah.
The house we stayed at it was over near San Antonio, Seguin area.
Yeah.
Anyway, we opened the freezer, and lo and behold, the freezer makes craft ice automatically.
But without you even doing anything.
It's just there.
Yeah.
Ready. All the time.
There's dozens of them.
And look, for somebody like me that has invested in these silicone ice trays so that I can make my own, so that my kids could stab them with forks and put holes in them and have to buy more.
Right.
Having a refrigerator that consistently makes me craft ice.
I mean, it's the most beautiful, wonderful invention.
It was worth every bit of rent that we paid for that house.
Just to find out that existed.
Yes. We both Kevin and I were just standing at the freezer, just gawking at it, how did we not know that this was a thing?
I know.
How did we not know?
I have no
that
idea
this was a thing.
Because of all people that have a home show,
right? and have an appliance repair, you know, sponsor on our show
should know about these things. And I want to know, like, I want to know if they get called on them. Like, I want to know if it breaks a lot.
Yeah, because if it doesn't, we're buying one.
We're getting a new fridge.
It's coming in here.
Yeah. So, although I did tell somebody recently, I was like, man, if I ever have to get another fridge, I don't know. I'm, it's going to be really hard for me to not drop 20K.
Oh, and go get
Sub-Zero.
Sub-Zero?
Yeah.
Jeez, you're not wrong. Well, because it'll be the last one we buy almost.
Pretty much. At this point but in it our lives, better be, it better make that ice.
Oh, if it well, if it doesn't, it's a
so
no-go.
I got a call. We did an episode with Chef Colin.
Yeah.
About that, and I need to call him and ask him, like, hey, is this a feature you guys offer? Because if not, like, we may have to stop being friends.
What else can we do other than not be friends? Like, there's no more options.
Yeah.
It's our only option.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Give Lone Star Appliance Repair a call or text them at 936-647-2364. And let me tell you, Craig, we have a lot that we got to talk about. We were going to do a whole episode on that Airbnb that we stayed at.
Yeah.
We haven't done it yet.
We haven't done it.
And we still plan to. But I got the air fryer.
Uh-huh.
I also have, I bought a new device that I think I told you about. It picks up sweet gum balls.
Oh, yeah. You did tell me about that. Okay, yeah, so
we're going to have to talk about that. I also just ordered a log splitter.
There's got to be people listening that's going to be, what the hell is a sweet gum ball?
you're not wrong.
I don't know where like, I need to look up where they exist regionally, because I don't know if it's like just a southern thing.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's a sweet gum tree.
Sweet gum tree.
And they make these
stupid spike balls.
Death Satan balls.
Yeah.
That are like spiky. They're everything that you would love if you're trying to hurt someone badly.
It's like a giant goat head in your yard.
You're not wrong. It's about the size of a golf ball.
Yeah.
But there's spikes all around it, like half-inch spikes.
Yeah.
They're massive. But they make millions of them and drop them. And they're a problem because, especially if you have zero-turn mowers, all the belts are underneath, and they will bounce around under the deck and knock those belts off. And
all the time.
It's a big problem. So
getting those belts on is not easy.
That's right. So we're going to talk about that. I also got a log splitter coming, which I got a lot of wood that needs to be split, and so we'll review that. And then I also got the Ryobi impact wrench.
Yeah.
The torque impact wrench that'll take lug nuts off.
Nice.
That thing is... We got to review it because it's incredible. I've already used it.
Yeah.
It's worth its weight in gold.
So we got all that stuff we got to talk about. And then we have another home and garden show coming up.
Oh, yeah.
That we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another live event with Annette coming up. I think that one's April 16th.
Yep. Got a lot going on, man.
Yeah.
And that's not even including contractors that we need to talk to.
Yeah.
So lots going on. So look, thank you guys for listening, for tuning in. This is going to wrap up this show. If you've not already gone and found us on YouTube or Facebook or wherever, we're all over the place. Go find us, Apple Podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and review. That would be great. If you don't have a 5-star, give us honest feedback. We don't even care at this point.
Yell at us. That's fine.
Right. But yeah, we're here each and every Tuesday. Until next time, we'll see you later.
See ya.